Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a fantastic day today. And yeah, we got some more interesting stuff as always. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful as always. We have a beautiful, beautiful day outside today. It's got partly cloudy skies with real clouds. I mean, think about what I'm saying. We have real clouds in the sky like I used to see when I was a kid. And whenever we have real clouds in the sky with blue skies, Austin, I kind of feel like I'm, you know, like 12 years old again. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. Well, we were talking earlier about the evisceration that we saw on the Stephen Colbert show last night of Alex Jones, and Dad and I were kind of joking about that earlier, as the leftists are pushing so hard with the mainstream media now to try and discredit anybody in the alternative news. And I watched the clip of it earlier. It was comical. I mean, he was trying so hard as best as he could to make Alex Jones look like a complete and total blithering idiot. The problem was, majority of people that know Alex Jones know that there's a lot of truth that he says, and that more than likely, all he really did was get the Alex Jones and InfoWars fans a lot more riled up, Dad, with what he did than really discredit Alex in any way.
He played one clip, and I'll try and do my Alex Jones here. He played one clip. I'm a real man. I like to fight. I like to go out and do things. I like women, man. I like women. I like to fight. I'm a real man. Alex did one of those. You know, Alex loves to do that. And he was pounding his chest the whole bit like he was a caveman. And, of course, Colbert just went nuts on that. And, you know, I like Alex. I mean, Alex is the point of the spear. I mean, he's got a huge, huge listening audience. And I've got nothing but positive to say things about the other alternative news host guys I have. But and the truth of the matter is what it's going to do. Number one, it's going to scare all the snowflakes if they hear Austin talking like, if they hear Alex talking like that. Probably like they're going to scare all the snowflakes if they heard me doing that. And so what's going to happen is they're going to turn around and they're going to basically run away and cry and go get some Play-Doh and a kitten. The people though that are curious about Alex Jones, and if they go to the InfoWars site, which they actually put InfoWars up there, like InfoWars website, like InfoWars.com, like here's how you contact Alex Jones to find out more about him. That was stupid. I cannot believe they did that, because all that did was get the people that are listening to that show to tune into Alex Jones. And quite frankly, about 90% of the time, Alex Jones doesn't act like that. He makes a lot of sense. And quite frankly, if the people start listening to his show, even the Colbert listeners, you know, a bunch of them are going to wake up. And the funny thing I thought about the whole thing, Austin, was this. He goes, if you look at the comments sections, like everybody's cussing out Colbert. Everybody's saying how there's another the mainstream media shill. You know, Alex Jones has tens of millions of listeners. I mean, he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And every time one of these guys try to do this to him, it provides more advertising. I mean, I remember when I was in the marketing department at Florida State years ago, when I was taking classes up there, they said that any advertising in the long run is good advertising because it gets your name out there. And people don't remember what the advertising was, even if it was bad, but they remember the name. See, and what Colbert did, he took a whole group of people that probably had no name or media recognition with Alex Jones and gave them something else to look at. And if they start looking at 9/11 and all the other things that are going on, because he picked up a whole bunch of stuff. And then what I thought was really just cheap shot, which is what they do, he had Alex Jones, I believe he was on the Howard Stern show, and talking about how, you know, bisphenol A and plastic liners and juice boxes will feminize animals and human beings because of the estrogen content. But they intentionally filtered out BPA. They never let Alex say bisphenol A. They never let him do that. They just talk about how this causes little boys to become feminine. And so they were spoofing him the best of their abilities. But the truth of the matter is that when you go back into the comments section, there are people that have actually linked back to bisphenol A saying, hey, look, this is not okay. This is bad for you. You don't be doing this kind of stuff. So I think personally, it's like it was with Piers Morgan. Tens of millions of people went to watch Alex unload on Piers Morgan, and everybody was saying, it's the end of Alex Jones, it's the end of Alex Jones, and my response was, oh no, it's just the beginning of Alex Jones. He stood his ground with that globalist, and guess what? Piers Morgan's off the air at CNN. Alex is still growing strong and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they were joking about how he was Trump's confidant, and how they cannot believe that Trump's taking advice from this guy who's this crazy. And the thing about it all is this, you know, anybody can take a sound bite and make anybody look silly. They could take a soundbite of what I did a few minutes ago and make me look silly. They could do any of that. I mean, that's why Ron Paul, when he was running for the presidency back in the early 90s, he refused to do interviews that were taped. He said that what they do is they take little 30-second, 45-second snippets, 10-second snippets, 5-second snippets. They play that for you, and then they basically slam you. I had that happen to me two years ago. I had a guy who got really mad at me because I used a word which corresponded with nerve plexus. I've talked to you guys about it before, about an energy field around the heart. He didn't like the word that I'd used. It was different than nerve plexus. And he ended up slamming me and like taking little 30-second snippets or 5-second snippets of what I was saying and then doing a big editorial on it rather than letting people listen to the entire show or the entire interview. I've had that happen to me numerous times over the last 37 years, and quite frankly, it's as distasteful every time when it happens to you. And see, what people need to realize is this. If you want to have the true information, you got to go to that person's website, or you got to call that person up, or you got to write that person a letter, or you got to start looking at other additional research that person has done. You can go on Amazon.com and find a plethora of my books that I have out there that are out of print for hardly anything, a penny a piece some of them, to learn really how I feel and what I believe about health, nutrition, and vitality. Also, you can find out how I feel about international events and current events and United States events by listening to this talk show. So I'm not like I'm trying to hide under a rock. So it's irritating to me also when people do that to me or to Alex or to Hagman or to anybody who's in the media and chop them up into sound bites and try to make them look silly. It's just because it backfired on Colbert pretty big time, because all he's going to do is make Alex look bigger and better. That's all he's going to do.
Well, it's a cheap shot. That's all it is. It's a cheap shot, and it's when they can't prove their point, they have no legitimate rebuttal, they have no significant argument that they can win, that's the only way they can do it, is to do a cheap shot, to do a real short snippet like that, and then sit there from one-sidedly and just absolutely hammer Alex on like one 15-second rant in the middle of his three-hour show. I don't even know when that was aired, but of course they didn't show anything before, anything after that, and then he just sat there and made fun of him the whole time. So yeah, I thought it backfired too, especially looking at the comments, especially looking at some of the stuff that I've seen online and social media today, checking that out. It's definitely backfired on him, because a lot of people are sick of the mainstream media and the fake news that is constantly being pushed upon us as if it's real and truth and newsworthy, and so a lot of people are starting to wake up to that. Now, also too, this is wild over in Germany now. The plot thickens, I should say, with the refugees. Now, leftists in Germany want to give non-citizen refugees the right to vote in the elections. According to the survey, supporters of Germany's major political parties were asked if electoral laws should be changed to allow non-EU citizens living permanently in Germany to vote, including any and all refugees. Among supporters of it, Social Democrats were in favor of it 64%, along with that 65% of Green Party voters. The obvious benefit to the left of giving non-citizens the right to vote is that they will overwhelmingly vote for the left-wing parties, who will reward them by maintaining and expanding the welfare state. The exact same thing we've seen here in the United States. Trump has brought up that up numerous times, that 2 to 3 million illegals have voted in the last election for Hillary. They're still trying to get all those numbers collected, but it's been blatantly clear when you saw the polling votes and when Obama went on national television and said, no, it's okay if you don't have a green card, if you're here illegally, that shouldn't deter you from voting. I'd paraphrase that. So that's something that the left love to do, is to get people that are on the welfare system, because anybody that is fully dependent on the state or the government for all their needs and all their money are not going to bite them. They're not going to vote against them. So it's wild to me that they want to do that over in Europe, but I highly doubt they'll get that done. They'll receive way too much opposition from the right side of that, Dad.
You know, just when you think Germany can't do anything more stupid than they've already done, they come up with stuff like this. Oh, no. Well, look at Obama. Obama was encouraging the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, to vote with illegal with driver's license and no voter IDs.
Yep.
I mean, this is what they did. I mean, and Trump was right. Millions of undocumented immigrants voted in the last election. And personally, I would take and find out where they all live now, and I would get rid of all of them, all the ones who thought they could come into our country and vote. I mean, if you go to Mexico and you try to go down there, in fact, I'm going to read an article on that today in a minute. If you go to Mexico and you try to sneak across the border and go down there and live on their social welfare system, which is pretty much non-existent, they put you in a Mexican jail, lock you up, and they basically force your family through coercion to get you out of jail through bribing. I mean, it's unbelievable what they do down there. And they basically, and Mexican jails are not what we have here in the United States. It's like that one movie we talked about earlier with Jack Reacher. You know, jail here in America, it's a retirement home. You know, and that's what it is. And that for people that are from other countries, they get three meals a day. They get to watch TV all day, play pool, work out, you know, try not to get to rape in the shower, I guess, but you know, that's pretty awful. But the whole thing about it is that, you know, they're basically in a lot better position in many cases living in our jails in our country than they are in their own countries. By the way, insider FBI guy has come out and said now that it's close to 30% of the political spectrum in Washington, D.C. is connected to the elite pedophile ring known as Pizzagate. And it's been infiltrated by law enforcement with high levels arrests, close to 3 dozen people and 3 dozen pedophile politicians. And that's just touching the surface. The insider of the FBI says that the FBI finished submitting paperwork to the Department of Justice in preparation for the Pizzagate arrests, which will begin after Jeff Sessions becomes Attorney General. Now, whether any of this happens or not, I don't know. But they're saying that this stuff's happening all over the country right now. But this, what I thought was interesting, he says up to 30% is just pedophilia. Now, remember I told you that I felt that probably 60 to 70% of the people in Congress, in the Senate, in the House, their aides, et cetera, are probably compromised in some way. That could be through alcoholism. That could be through spousal abuse. That could be through the use of drugs. That could be the use of whores. That could be through all kinds of different things they could have done. They could have lied. They could have obstructed justice. Or they could be pedophiles. And so what ends up happening is this giant corruption of these politicians that has been going on now since, oh gosh, it's since the beginning of this country, really, it's just continuing to get worse and worse and worse. And when you gave the Rothschild banking cartel the ability to create money out of nothing and through their lobbying efforts and their corporate efforts to bribe these guys with campaign contributions to the tunes of billions of dollars, they pretty much get what they want. So the ones that can't be blackmailed, they basically bribe. It's like when Wayne Allen Root came on the show with us a few years ago, Austin, you know, when Trump was still running at the beginning, and he did the show with us, and he said that the vast majority of the people up there, they have compromising evidence on them, and they bring them into the back room, and they simply say, do you want to have your life ruined, or do you want to be an existing congressman or a sitting senator for the rest of your life and have all of these benefits given to you plus a whole bunch of money in your Swiss account? Or we can make you a complete and total mockery and throw you out and put you in prison or ruin your life, ruin your career, ruin your marriage. And so quite frankly, when these guys are that compromised, it becomes very, very easy when they've already gone over to the dark side 10, 15, 20 years ago to do what they're told to do, to capitulate to the bad people. And this is exactly what's happened in Washington. And that's why, again, the satanic groups that run Washington, the satanic groups that run Hollywood, the satanic groups that run the Rothschild banking cartel, the satanic groups that run the higher levels of the hierarchy right now of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I'm being very honest with you guys right now. The satanic elements of these mob, CIA mob people fronts that basically run the drugs into the United States, all of this stuff is because they're sacrificing or they're admonishing or they're building up or they're whatever they're doing to their god Lucifer. This is who they are. This is what they have. And you have to understand this. When you understand that this is an interdimensional war, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, which is what the Bible says, but against all of these principalities and all these other things in these unseen realms. Once you get that, once you understand that, once you see the very picture of how real that is, then you start to understand that these people are using these children for part of their ceremonies to feed the interdimensional aliens as Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, is what the word says. And that's what's happening. And so all of this stuff ties together in a nice, neat little package, and the Bible talks about it in Genesis chapter 6. And of course, the Druidic worship we talked about so many times in the last few weeks is involved in all of this stuff. So now all of this stuff has been hidden for so long, and it's coming out. Now, if they can't collapse the stock market, which they can do that anytime they want. But remember now, it's very important everybody gets this. The Federal Reserve Bank, through its corporations that it owns and through all the money that is printed, they're the ones that have pushed the stock prices to this level. So as long as they don't start selling their stocks, the prices aren't going to drop. It, you know, if you own 90% of the stock market, it can only drop 10%, pretty much. So if they own the vast majority of the stocks in all these overvalued corporations, there's really no incentive to sell those stocks unless they're trying to short the market to drive it back down to take more people's money again, which is what they always do. So the reality is they can keep this up as long as they want. because the vast majority of the people that were investing in the stock market, Austin, 10 years ago when they got shellacked, they haven't gone back in full throttle again. I know I haven't. I'm out. I've been out for 10 years. I don't care anymore. I have no interest in dealing with those people that take all your money and steal it. I don't have any interest in it because all it is legalized gambling. But these guys are finally getting their comeuppance, and now the FBI is saying, one of the top insiders, that one third of these guys are involved in pedophilia in D.C. Those are some big numbers, Austin.
Yeah, I mean, that's outrageous. It's disgusting, actually. It really is. And what you're saying with the banking and all that, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, it will be an intentional collapse because, like you said, you own 90% of the market. You're going to intentionally collapse it if it collapses. It's not going to go by itself unless they want it to. That's why I tell people all the time with the stock market, with the banks, with all that stuff, man, you need, regardless of where you decide to put some money here and there, you need to make sure, regardless, that you've diversified some assets and physical holdings, and whether it be some cash in the safe, whether it be some Silver Eagles, whether it be some ammo, which I always recommend, any of that, you need to make sure you have different options that are on backup at all times. There was an email that came in to Stephen Stanford from All News, and from which a friend sent in, was a family member, received from their credit union, which was a change to terms and conditions that pretty much what I've said numerous times, once you put your money in the bank, you no longer own it. You know, I had that epiphany about 8-9 years ago when I had a friend that was in the banking community, and we worked a lot in it, and we were discussing it one day, and he goes, no, you have to understand. He goes, if you come in and you bring in a $100 bill and you deposit in your account, he goes, that's your $100 bill. You're giving it to us, but we own that money now. It is no longer your money. We give you permission to have access to your money through our institution by allowing you to get your money when we allow you to have your money. And a light bulb kind of flicked on in my head, and I was like, really? He goes, yeah, you don't own your money anymore. You're giving it to us. We own your money. We're just allowing you to have it. And here right now is a direct example for all the people that always argue with me about that. This was a change to terms and conditions. Effective February 1st, 2017, the following addition has been made to the membership and account agreement section of the Suncoast Credit Union account agreement and disclosure. Now, I don't know where Suncoast Credit Union is. I'm sure there's a lot of different ones around, but I've heard this exact same thing from other local ones as well. But the one right here, it says verbatim, the right to restrict services and account access. We reserve the right to restrict, deny, suspend, or terminate all credit union services and or your ability to access or withdraw account funds at any time for any reason and without notice to you in our sole discretion to the maximum extent permitted under applicable law. That's what it says. That's what almost all of them say if you do your research and pull up your terms and services and account agreement with your banks and credit unions. Almost all of that is the same thing. Another recent story, and see, the media is slowly pushing this, guys. The banks are slowly bringing in because once they control the banks, which they already do, once they can control the currency, which they're pretty much getting to that point now, and they can completely bring in the paper market and get everybody on cards, bringing in the digital currency, which I've talked about dozens of times, then you will no longer even have the option of having a free, untouched, unmonitored currency like cash, because everything you do will be controlled through the bank. A new story that came out from Bloomberg, which of course these guys are straight liberal globalists, it says, surprise, your cash is now worthless, within which they report upon India's drive to stamp out corruption, remember what happened in India, by invalidating more than 80% of the currency in circulation. So we shouldn't be the least bit surprised, report, because of Bloomberg's story. At the end of it, it says, this action might just end up working. Washington Post put another one out last month urging the U.S. to follow on what India is doing. And understand, once cash is banned, they will be able to force you to buy, or they can tax anything they want, whenever they want, out of your account, and there's nothing you can do about it. Direct taxation and withdrawal of your funds without your permission. And you say, they can't take my money. That won't be able to happen. Really? They've already done it. It's called the Affordable Care Act. They force you to get insurance. They force you to buy something you don't want and don't need, or they tax you illegally and don't get let you have your money back that the IRS has stolen from through the Federal Reserve illegally out of your check for the past year. They withdraw those funds out of your income tax refund check. So don't tell me they won't take your money without your consent. They're already doing it now, or they're forcing you to buy something you don't want. So guys, be very, very aware of all this right now as things start to progress about going down this route along the cashless society, and also too, putting large sums of money in the bank and not having any outside access to some type of cash or silver in a safe, secure area of your knowing. Be very careful of that, guys, because this is starting to creep in very, very quickly, and we only have a couple more years if we don't do something about it now before cash is going to become obsolete. That's why I tell everybody on the show all the time, try to use cash at least some of the time. If you can't do it all the time, at least some of the time with main transactions, so at least there's a constant, steady flow of cash transactions still being shown. You look at some of these countries over there, they only have 3, 4, 5% of transactions now are in cash. Everything else is with card. Well, when that happens, there will be little to no opposition whatsoever if they ban cash the next day. So, guys, just keep that in mind when you're doing anything with cash and cards right now.
Well, and be careful with cards. I mean, we just found out today that our my Visa card got hacked again at a gas station. I mean, people come by with these card readers. People come by, they put these little sleeves inside of the doggone card readers at the gas station for fuel. I mean, it's almost as though the only place you can go are places where they have attendants out by the pumps. And that's it, because of all the doggone fraud that goes on now. I mean, it's like the third time in 2 years I've gotten hacked. And so it just aggravates to me that I have to, you know, go inside and pay cash, which I don't mind doing that, but then you got to stand in line and wait for everybody to buy their sodas for 5 minutes or 10 minutes before you can even give them the cash. And then you don't know how much money it's going to take to fill the car up, so then you got to go back in and get the cash change back. And it becomes a nuisance at a gas station. But now they're just hacking my card again. They've hacked it again. There's a whole bunch of charges on it again from somebody that we don't know. And basically now we had to kill the whole card, start it all over again. They're sending us new cards. This is the problem when you have a cashless society and you're using credit cards or you're using debit cards. And guys, let me tell you something. Debit cards are much more difficult to get your money back on. They're very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I don't ever recommend it. You use a debit card as a credit card anywhere where you think you can be scanned, especially at gas pumps. Really, really important, because they can empty out your whole account, and then you got to deal with the bank trying to get the money back, and sometimes they're not as happy about that as you think they're going to be. And again, be careful with your information too online, because people can hack into your accounts and start wiring money out of your account, and that becomes very difficult to get back. So it's just a big, big mess, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse as we go more and more into the electronic age, Austin, which is exactly what they want, because this is exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says that in the end days, there'll be no cash. You'll have to get the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell. And if you don't take the mark, you'll basically be cut off. That's exactly where these Luciferians, remember guys, the Luciferians read the book too. You gotta get that. They understand where this is going. They know what they're gonna do. And they know what the final outcome's going to be. They just think they can win against God. They think they can beat Yahweh. They're that deluded. They have that much just stupidity and pride. They really think they can beat the creator of the universe. I mean, you know, they need to get a newsflash. You know, it's kind of an unfair battle to begin with. To try to do that's kind of silliness. But of course, this is the arrogance of Lucifer and the minion that followed him down to our planet. So it's going to be interesting. By the way, somebody must be listening to our show with the Millennium Report. They wrote a really good article here, and it says, the three pillars of the deep state must be knocked down post-haste. In other words, they have to be destroyed. And here's what he says. The mainstream media must be shut down. Now, I disagree with that. I don't think the mainstream media needs to be shut down. Here's what I think needs to happen. I think that the media needs to be made independent stations, and that mom and pops need to start operating all of the ABC, NBC, yep, CBS, CNN, news affiliates throughout the United States, like it used to be with the radio back 25, 30 years ago. If everybody has a mom and pop operation running the news, then suddenly there won't be one giant group of people like the Rothschilds through Reuters or through AP Wire telling all of their subsidiary stations and those who subscribe to their networks exactly what the news is. I get a kick out of this, and I've watched this before on YouTube. They'll take like people side by side reading the news report from different channels, and they're reading the exact same script.
Yep.
The exact same script. I mean, I'm talking people in Australia, people in California, people in New York, you know, people in England, reading the exact same script on the same night. Who's giving them this information? Well, we know who it is. It's the AP Wire, and it's Reuters, and it's, again, controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. Guys, if you don't get rid of this, which is his next thing on this, the Federal Reserve System must be taken over by the U.S. Treasury. I have said that over and over. It has to be nationalized. It has to come under control. You can't get rid of the Federal Reserve System. It just has to be controlled through Congress again, through the U.S. Treasury. And we don't really need to call it the Federal Reserve anymore. We just call it the Treasury. I mean, we don't have to call it the Federal Reserve System. But the banks and the transfers and the SWIFT transfers and all of that infrastructure, that electronic infrastructure, has to remain in place. Otherwise, oh my gosh, we're going to go back, you know, we're going to go back 100 years as far as the ability to wire and transfer money. So we have to do that, but it has to be nationalized. And third, he says the CIA, which is what Kennedy wanted to do, and of course, I think Trump hopefully will do this, has to be dissolved. And of course, before they get dissolved, they need to be exposed for who and what they are, and they're linked with the Mossad. This whole thing goes back to the CIA, the Mossad, the Vatican, and British intelligence. This whole thing is just a giant network of just slime is all it is. And until this stuff gets exposed in mainstream media or on local media by these shows. And the other problem that we have is that we have these cable networks now that you turn your TV set on, you have the ability to watch 500 or 1,000 channels. And so the actual ability of one person going out and doing a big network fun thing, you know, as far as exposing the information for the truth, is difficult now. And that was done on purpose also. That's why the alternative news media, you know, me, Hagman, Riley, Hodges, Sheila, Jones, you know, we're such an enigma, because what we're doing is we're actually building huge audiences of people who want to hear the truth. And so we have the ability, because of being online now, because of the internet, which is their two-edged sword, their Achilles heel, of telling the people what's really, really going on. And guys, listen to me for a second. I don't take that lightly. I'm just absolutely humbled by the fact that God has put us in this role and that we're doing this, and our numbers have gotten so big on this show, because I realize that all of you guys that are listening to the show realize that we're trying to do this from a three-dimensional standpoint. We're trying to do it from a Christian standpoint, an interdimensional standpoint, and we're trying to do it from a physical standpoint, and we're trying to let you guys know what's really going on in this unseen realm that the Bible talks about, and that this angel interference that we've had that's been going on now for tens of thousands of years on this planet, probably 10,000 years, is something that's not going away anytime soon, because these things are still among us, which is exactly what it says happened in Genesis chapter 6. They were here before and after the flood. What do you think, Oz?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's why everything has to, you know, and the problem is, you know, you sit back and look at all this stuff and you start seeing what's going on, and it can be frustrating at times, guys. I know, I feel the same way as you guys do, everybody. We all get kind of frustrated with all this. But the biggest thing we can keep doing is praying and trying to wake up as many people as possible. And that's why we do the show. That's why we're trying to get it out there. We're trying to do the best we can, because you guys have to understand, I mean, we have 330 million people in the United States. If we just had 10% of them that were able-bodied, that woke up, that were true patriots, you're talking about 30 million plus people. I mean, that's a substantial amount of people that can do a lot of stopping power to the globalist movement. The problem is, a lot of people are so brainwashed, and with the vaccines and with the media, everybody lives in their little stupor every day, eating their MSG and diet sodas while they're watching CNN every night, and they have no idea where they're even at. That's why if you try to do the best you can to wake people up, that's about the best we can do right now, and just keep praying. And the thing is, the more this starts to snowball, the more people start to wake up, it kind of grows exponentially. It grows on itself. So that's what we're trying to do, and that's why we're really trying to get the show out there. And like with the vaccines I just mentioned, this is in Canada now. This is an article that came down to the United States. I just saw it earlier. That last week, up in Canada, a teacher named Tim Sullivan, who's a science teacher in Canada, was going before a disciplinary committee because he dared to question vaccines at the school. Now, just this week, on February 22nd now, get this, guys, he was found guilty of professional misconduct by an independent disciplinary committee. All total, he was guilty of 5 acts, including, listen to this, abusing students psychologically and emotionally. And you want to know why? This is what happened. the nurses were in the cafeteria giving the students vaccines, and he pitched a fit and said, you guys are not telling them what the vaccines are going to do to them. One of the vaccine side effects that you know is on the box that you're not disclosing to them is death and paralysis. And the nurses flipped a lid. They said, oh, we felt threatened and intimidated that he came in there and told us that, and we were very uneasy. Now, the fact that they were withholding information from the students was the biggest issue there. Now, what's wild about this is his employer, now they're seeking penalty to him, the school is, a 1-month suspension and a completion of an anger management course, but they're not going to revoke his license. So this is all again about submission. He goes out there and tells these kids vaccines are dangerous. The teachers, the doggone health girls there, the nurses are not informing these kids about what the vaccines are doing. So he takes it upon himself to verbalize it and vocally tell them what's going on, which he should do because that's what we all do here. And now they're suspending him and saying that he psychologically and emotionally abused students because he told them the truth about what the vaccines were doing. Unreal, guys, but this is exactly what is going on. Canada doesn't have a First Amendment right, but we're seeing the exact same things happen here in the United States at the universities, at the clinic levels as well. I just had a customer call me up this week, and they were trying to take their new child to the pediatrician, and this couple, they order stuff from us. They're not pro-vaccine, put it that way. They're not 100% against any vaccine ever, especially in the future, possibly tetanus, something like that. And that's kind of the same stance I'm on, but it needs to be at a much older rate when the body is much more mature. Now, when they're 4 months old and 6 months old, getting 7 and 8 vaccinations, and they told me they had a giant blowout with the pediatrician. This is a different story from the other one. The exact same thing again. The pediatrician said, nope, you have to sign this form stating with your signature on it that you're denying any type of vaccine to your child. And it goes in detail there how basically what it implies is that you're a horrible parent. You're an unfit parent. You do not have the best interest of your child at heart. And at any time, if something happens to your child, you're going to be fully liable for them personally and in court as well. Our people that order from us, our customers, refuse to sign it, which I told them, I said, good. I said, had the same thing happen a couple weeks ago. Do not sign that stuff. I don't care if they demand you sign it. You do not have to put your signature on anything. That is something everybody has to understand. Nobody can force you to put your signature on a pediatrician list to state you're a bad parent. You do not have to sign anything. So I was really proud of this couple that they stood firm with the pediatrician. And, of course, the pediatrician told them they were no longer going to see them. They said, we will not take you as clients if you guys do not fill out this form and you're not getting vaccines. As they said, good riddance. We'll go to somebody else regardless of our insurance doesn't cover it. We'll pay for it out of pocket. And that's what people have to start understanding is your child's health, your health, is much more important than your insurance deductible or your insurance premium. If you go to a pediatrician that your insurance covers and your pediatrician refuses to cover you unless your child gets vaccines, you need to look for another pediatrician. That is as simple as I can be with you. And if financially you can't handle it, then you need to start looking at other routes with insurance and other options, because there is no reason to let anybody dictate what they're going to inject into your child and forcibly do so against your consent, guys. So that's my little vaccine rant. I just went on the Canada article earlier, but I kind of got off on that. But I just wanted to kind of bring that up because I was really proud of these customers this week when they emailed us, Dad.
Well, no, I love it because, years ago we had a good friend of ours, a friend of the family for many years, was here at the house, working out with us. We have a little gym here, and we were working out, and we were talking about immunizations, and he basically said he was going to immunize his daughter, and I offered to pay for him to go to another physician because he said it was the one that was covered with his insurance plan. You were there. You heard the whole thing.
Yep.
And I said, well, if that's a problem, I said, I've been friends with yours for a long time. I'll pay for the doctor's visits. We have a local physician. His name's Dr. Todd Robinson, and he's not a pediatrician, but he's a medical doctor, and he's the one that we've always used for our children. And I said, why don't you just take your little daughter to Todd, and I'll pay for the bill. It's like, $60 or whatever to go see him. And they go, well, why would you do that? I said, well, because I care enough about you guys that you don't have to, if you don't have the money, which is not true. He makes plenty of money. And then all of a sudden, the whole story changed. Then all of a sudden, the story changed to, oh, I don't think I need to, I'm not going to do that. And then finally, he comes up with this providentialism, which means that he believes that regardless of what happens to that child, that it's God's will for him for that to happen and for that child. So I said to him, I said, so if you inject the child with 72 vaccines and the child comes down with autism or learning disabilities or is mentally damaged from this, that it's God's will. And he goes, yes, it's God's will for my child to be damaged if I do this to my child, because that's what God wants. Now, guys, that's an old teaching that is so stupid that I don't even have words for it. Then I said to him, I said, you mean, so you're telling me if you step out in front of a semi truck and you kill yourself, that was God's will? And he goes, well, that's right. And I'm like, well, this doesn't even make any sense. I said, how in the world can it be God's will for you to do something contrary to what God wants? The Bible says that, and I didn't tell him this at the time because I'd gotten too overheated, not with being working out, with anger. I really got upset. Austin knows it. I lost it.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, I told him, I said, well, this is a choice that your wife has made then and your in-laws have made that you haven't had a choice in. And he just looked at me kind of funny. And I said, look, dude, I said, you know, you got to man up. You've got to man up and you've got to realize that, you know, this is your child, this is your daughter, and you've got to be an alpha male with your family, and you've got to make a choice, and you've got to make sure that you make everybody understand what's going on. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. This situation that he had found himself in is really a situation in which none of us have to be in unless we decide that we want to marry the wrong person. This is something that really needs to be something that you talk about on a regular basis before you get married. Now, I'm being very honest with you right now. I mean, it's kind of like going to church and how you're going to discipline the kids and if you're going to spank the kids or if you're going to do time out or you're going to make them run laps or whatever is legal in your state. You know, you have to be that person that's willing to talk to your spouse or your future spouse before you say, I do. I just got off the phone today with a guy, and he's been a friend of mine for about 15 years now, and he's, you know, he's almost 50 years old now, and he got married in his late 30s. And now he has a little girl who's like 6 years old, and they're getting divorced, and his wife is just absolutely horrific. I mean, she's horrible. Now, don't get me wrong, this guy is not the poster child for normalcy, okay? But his wife, they're both pretty bad, I'll be honest with you. And finally he told me what she's doing. She's playing dirty in this divorce. And I said, well, that's what happens in divorce when children are involved. Everybody wants to get, you know, they're pound the flesh from everybody else because they're all angry. And I said, you got to realize this all started when you dated and married the wrong person. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. This is really important stuff I'm giving you. See, you don't want to be in a situation where you have the babies getting born in three weeks, and all of a sudden you talk to your wife. She goes, well, I want to do 72 immunizations. And you go, I don't believe in immunizations. That's not where you want to be. You want to be with that. I'm going to show you some stuff before we get married on immunizations and let you make up your own mind, which you have the right to do that. But in the event that we don't agree on this, we need to really think about whether we want to be married or not, because this is going to be a major, major issue once we have children. And see, that's the whole key. You've got to be willing in premarital counseling to talk about all of this stuff, about exercise, about weight gain. You know, I mean, I've seen so many guys marry girls that have gotten really big, and I've seen so many girls marry guys that have gotten really big. I've seen so many girls marry guys and they both have gotten really big, and I'm talking like 200 pounds overweight, and you're kind of like, is that okay with your spouse for you to look like that? You need to talk about that before you get married. You got to talk about all of that stuff. That's why I'm a big advocate of premarital counseling. But guys, you've got to put this whole thing about the premarital counseling, you've got to add in immunizations. You've got to add in GMO foods. You've got to add in all of these different things, because if you don't, what's going to happen when you get married, if you feel a way that somebody else doesn't feel, unless you're trying your best to change somebody, which is very, very difficult. It's easier to work and have common goals and dreams together. I used to date a lot of girls in college that I would be attracted to because we were like opposites. And it would be like a challenge to try to change them or persuade them to my point of view. And opposites sometimes do attract. You see that when you date people. But the problem with that is, once the new wears off, those opposites come right back and they don't attract anymore. They clash and they bite down, and they bite down really, really hard. And you got to realize that's not where you want to be in a marriage. That is just not it. So finally, I ended up with this kid in the gym that day. I finally stormed off. I was so mad. And, you know, and I thought to myself later, I thought, wow, he's got himself into a really, really bad situation, and he doesn't want to do what he needs to do as the alpha male, as the father of that family, to make it right. And the sad part about this is, this is not an isolated incident. This happens all over the United States all of the time, and we get the letters and the emails to prove it. It's awful when this happens with kids. And so you got to realize something, guys. You know, there are some people out there, if you get divorced from them and they know you don't want to vaccinate the kids, they're going to vaccinate them just to get to you.
Yep.
You're going to say, would they really do that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're going to really do that. I mean, some of these marriages are so bad, and there's so much bitterness and anger in these marriages that the people really, really, when they finally split up, it's like a World War III. I mean, it's miserable. I mean, miserable, miserable, miserable. And guys, if you're married to someone like that and you don't have children yet, you need to really try to resolve a lot of these issues before you have children. If you're dating somebody like that, you need to resolve the issue. This is guys and girls. If you're dating somebody like that who likes to go out and get drunk all the time, likes to go out and party with their friends and smoke dope and get stoned and dance with other members of the opposite sex and do all the other things, and they're dating you and you're supposed to be like engaged, you need to reevaluate that. And you need to say, you know what? I don't really want you to do this after we get married, so you won't stop this now when we're not married. So I got to kind of step out of this and go somewhere else. That's what I would do. Now, I'm talking to a lot of young kids right now because there are a lot of young kids who listen to this show, and I want you to realize something. You don't change people. Now, you can work with them and you can allow them, you can allow the Holy Spirit to change them. But all you do when you try to change people is you cause massive, massive conflict. That's it. That's why I told you yesterday when we were talking about what should they be able to use their EBT cards to buy junk food. My response was, you can't change this human nature. If the person wants to eat junk food, they'll just spend the EBT card on something else and buy junk food with the rest of their money. It's just what people do. People are just funny. They don't like being told what to do. I don't blame them. I don't like being told what to do, but here's the difference with me and Austin and what we've tried to do with my family ever since they were young children. I will give them, in many cases, both sides of the argument of why you should do this, why you shouldn't do this. Rather than preaching morality, I preach consequences. It makes a lot more sense. If you say, you can do whatever you want to do, here's what's going to happen. If you do this and this, I'm going to take your car away. If you do doing this, you're going to be on restriction. If you doing this, you're going to be running laps. If you do doing this is what's going to happen. Not, don't do this or don't do that. So this is what's going to happen when you do this. The same thing is true with marriages. Say, if you decide you want to run to bars, you know, while we're dating and while we're engaged, and you want to go out with your old girlfriends and you think that's okay, that's not okay with me. I have a guy in Tallahassee that I knew. He got married, and within 6 to 8 weeks after they were married, his wife, and of course it's his ex-wife now, his wife at that time, tells her that she has a friend coming in from another country that she used to live with, that used to be a boyfriend, and his parents are coming into town, and she wants to go out to dinner with all of them. Guys, newsflash. Okay, this is old school. That's not okay. You're married to somebody, you don't go out with old boyfriends and old girlfriends. You don't do stuff like that, but for some reason, somebody's got the memo mixed up on this, and they think that's okay now, Austin. That's not okay. It's not okay. You don't call up old girlfriends that you used to date when you're married. I mean, if you text them every once in a while, you say hi or whatever, okay, but you don't go hang out with them and go out and party with them and go dancing with them. You don't do stuff like that, because all it does is creates this appearance of evil. And the Bible says to avoid evil, avoid even the very appearance of evil. And what you do is you just set up a breeding ground for Lucifer to come in and get you to sin against your wife or your spouse or your husband. Simply not necessary. I had another guy here years ago, and he was dating this girl, and she basically told me she liked to go out, and they were like engaged, and she told me she liked to go out and dance with her old boyfriends all the time in the clubs and get drunk. Said it right in front of her doggone fiance. And I looked at her and I said, do you think that's okay? She goes, what are you trying to tell me what to do? I said, no, I'm not telling you to do anything. I said, I'm just asking you if you think that's okay. She goes, well, obviously, if I didn't think it was okay, I wouldn't do it. And so I looked at her fiance and I said, do you think this is okay? He goes, no, I really don't like it when she does that. And then she looked at her fiance, and the fiance, and he goes, well, I don't care if you like it or not. I want to keep doing this even after we're married. Well, he immediately broke up with her because he had not addressed that issue. Guys, it's so important. I'm not trying to do marriage counseling right now. This covers everything. This covers everything. This covers nutrition. This covers immunizations. This covers eating clean. This covers eating GMO foods. This even covers taking vitamins. You marry Yep. somebody who doesn't like to take vitamins, but you want to take vitamins, and they think you're crazy for taking vitamins, and they don't want to pay for the vitamins, or they don't want you buying the vitamins. It becomes a big conflict. All of a sudden, you're like taking vitamins, and you're getting in a fight over vitamins. I remember when I prayed for Sharon years ago in Tallahassee, after I'd gone through a divorce. You guys know I was divorced. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail with that because there were no kids involved, so it was a long, long time ago. And, because I've been married to Sharon for 33 years now, and I've only married for a few years. I remember the vitamin controversy happened all the time about not wanting to take vitamins. And so it's one of those things that when this kind of stuff happens, you've got to realize you need to address that issue in advance before you get married. You've got to make sure that people realize that you're on the same page. And I remember when I prayed after I got split up from the ex who got divorced, I prayed to God. I said, look, and one of the things I asked for was somebody who was health conscious and who was into taking supplements and working out and staying in shape. And see, and I prayed a bunch of other things too that night when I prayed, and I was on my knees at the foot of my bed. But the thing is this, I asked God to bring me the person who would be my best partner in life and my best, somebody who I could be synergistic with, somebody that I could be the right. It's like playing a B flat and a B flat, and everybody kind of harmonizes. That's what you want. You want to be in a situation where everybody is harmonic in your household and you don't have some type of frequency in there that's causing all kinds of problems. Guys, it's so important to do this before you get married. Now I can hear a bunch of you ladies going, amen to that, brother. And I hear a bunch of you guys going, amen to that, brother. Guys, it's just easier before you say, I do. By the way, quick story out of Chicago, because all the people still getting murdered in Chicago, I guess the ATF are not doing their job yet. They are now using heavy duty rifles instead of like Uzis and pistols, because they're getting more firepower using the rifles and the high-powered rifles in Chicago now. I guess that way they can have more casualties rack up in this next year. What do you think about the use of high-powered rifles, Austin, in Chicago to kill people? I mean, this is just crazy. Why does anyone even live in Chicago is what I want to know. I mean, gosh.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that you even had to bring that up, I mean, I think they've said, I think 7 people got shot and killed yesterday in Chicago. 7 people yesterday or Wednesday, the highest day so far this year. And ATF's bringing an entire task force to Chicago now, relocating them permanently to try and handle what's going on over there. And good luck with that. I mean, you guys know my stance on ATF. I am definitely not ATF's biggest fan whatsoever. However, since we do still fund them hundreds of millions of dollars a year, I would appreciate if they do something proficient with their weapons besides harass people in Idaho and Texas and actually do something that we pay them to do, and that's get illegal weapons off the ground that they don't actually fund. And that's exactly what's going on in Chicago. We have these gang members that are taking to the streets with high-powered rifles. I'm sure a lot of them are using AKs, this very cheap, reliable round with a very hard-hitting 7.62x39 bullet. So that's probably what they're shooting at. It's a very high casualty weapon, especially when you use hollow points. I mean, the exit wounds are very large with AK-47s. You can get 100 round drums. It's a great weapon. I mean, we own one. They're good weapons, very reliable. So yeah, ATF's going to have their hands full with that, but I just don't understand the ideology of the people as far as the gangbangers living in Chicago. I guess I've never been in that lifestyle, so I don't fully comprehend it. Why they think it's okay just to shoot people all day long because they're not in your gang or you're not in their gang or you're on their turf or whatever you want to refer to it as. It's a pretty primitive ideology. I don't know why a lot of them can't get away from it, but 7 people shot and killed, murdered in one day, man, that's intense. I mean, you're talking way worse than we've ever even seen in the Middle East over there, and that's battleground, man.
It is. Oh, by the way, Venezuela's economic crisis is so dire that most people living in that country have lost an average of 19 pounds because they're having to skip so many meals because of a food shortage. Now, of course, in the United States, that probably wouldn't be too bad if everybody lost 19 pounds, but the reality is that, you know, I'm being honest now. I mean, yeah. It's so funny. You go on a cruise, you know, on an American cruise ship, and you've got all the big folks show up and they're huge and you're like, wow. And you go in these tours in different parts of the country and you start seeing American groups and they're like, you always spot them because they're always 40 to 50 to 100 pounds overweight. And it's just kind of sad actually, but it's the truth. And so it's just the people in America just need to realize that, you know, maybe they don't need to eat as much white bread and just maybe the Velveeta cheese isn't okay. And maybe all the high fructose corn syrup they're pouring down their throats is not something they need to live with every day anymore. I mean, they need to figure that out. But again, you can't make people do what they don't want to do. That's why it's so important to realize that. That's why we don't do third party consultations in the office. Now I'm going to start on that again. I can't help your cousin's neighbor's brother's plumber's wife's aunt. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't call that aunt up that's 12 people deep in this little series and say, this is Ted Brower. Your cousin's neighbor's brother's aunt's cousin, whatever, asked me to call you. They're going to think I'm insane. They're going to think that I have lost it, and they're going to send a little short bus to pick me up. That's the problem with three third-party consultations. If a person isn't interested enough to call our office up and ask a couple questions about health, because we don't charge, it's all free. You know, we have a free helpline, basically you call it. If you're not willing to do that and ask a couple questions like, hey, you know, how can I drop a few pounds? Or, hey, maybe I can do this. Or what are some good supplements on the market right now? Or maybe how can I increase my energy levels a little bit? If you're not willing to do that, they don't know who we are. We can't help them. So that's the other point I want to make today is, you know, we can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. If a person is going to eat junk food all the days of their life, there's nothing I can do to make them want to eat healthy. There's just nothing I can do. And so I just wanted to share that with you again. What's your next story, guys? We're almost out of time.
Yeah, I know we are. It's all right, though. We always got plenty of articles on here for everybody. Another one that's pretty wild now, we've seen the issue that's come about with Facebook Live, and you kind of combine that with the massive Muslim influx in Europe, especially in Sweden, and they've got a serious issue what's going on now. Just recently, another live stream footage of young women being sexually harassed in Stockholm, Sweden's capital, Stockholm, has been part of a PR campaign that is launched on a closed Facebook group run by Tonsuanian men, refugees. The perpetrators appear to be showing the video in order to encourage other refugees living in Europe to pay a visit to the city. Adam, who saw parts of the attack taking place online, informed libertarian conservative magazine Frieda Tider on the existence of this Facebook group. The page has some 60,000 members and specifically aims at enlisting Muslim jihadists, essentially, I'm adding that in there, refugees living in Europe. On the night of the 26th, the live broadcast, the footage shows two Middle Eastern men leaving a restaurant in Stockholm at the end of the night out. When the Arabs failed to get intention of a cab, they decided to steal a bike. Soon after, viewers witnessed the men sexually assaulting women on a street. During the ordeal, the women are trying to run away and said, "Stop chasing me, stop filming me," while the migrants grope them, pull their hair, and tear off their clothes. One of the men tries to rape the woman, who is about 25 years old, when the cell phone footage ends. One of the men in the clip, as they already saw now, has been convicted already of violent assaults, and the Frieda Tier, the person who was contacted, independently verified that the second person is also an illegal Muslim immigrant who has been hiding from the Swedish authorities since 2014. Adam claims he informed Stockholm authorities on the attack, but the police denied having any knowledge of the incident. And this is the second time now in 1 month migrants in Sweden live stream sexual assaults to Facebook. Now, this whole situation just is horrible, but what's even sick to me, and the irony of this, is what you see Facebook allowing. They will sit there and take down a post and block somebody for saying something negative about Hillary, and somebody turns them in and says, that offends me about Hillary, or that's pro-Trump, I'm offended because he's racist. They will flat out ban your account and pull it down, yet they're not even monitoring these live stream videos close enough that they're letting people straight up molest and essentially rape. There's another one, the video that got released a couple weeks ago they had, was a video of a unconscious woman that they beat unconscious and then raped her on live feed till the video finally got shut down. This is ridiculous. If Facebook wants to sit there and act like they're far left liberal agenda, which is what they are, then they at least have the decency to keep their live feed under control and not just garbage like this spew out on Facebook. But the thing about this is, guys, one thing about this is what's really going on over there. This is not the mainstream media lying, laughing, mocking Trump, saying nothing to see here, nothing going on, move on. This is what's really going on in Sweden and in Europe, and people need to wake up about it and realize we don't want more jihadist Muslim refugees in any of these countries on free subsidies taking over this country at all. We're done with it. We're sick of it, especially in Sweden. So I feel sorry for a lot of the population there that didn't want this to happen because they have completely lost their country now, Dad.
Well, there's another one. Teacher, 28 years old, gang raped by non-Iraqi immigrants in Vienna. I mean, it just, I mean, we could do story after story on this. It's happening all over the world. Because you got to remember, these guys think this is okay. I mean, they think this is okay. They think that this is something that everybody wants when they get raped. I mean, it's just, it's nuts. And of course, this lady was in a bar and got dragged out apparently of the bar. But the point is this, you know, just because you go get a drink in a bar, which I don't do, by the way, but just if I did that, I don't want to have somebody rape me or rape my wife or whatever. I mean, it's, you don't do that. That's not why you're going to a bar. So it's pretty bad over in Vienna now, too. By the way, here's an article this by Tyler Durden from Zero Hedge, and it says, Alan Greenspan says, quote, Ron Paul was right about the gold standard. Imagine that. Unbelievable. You can read the article yourself. So when the history of these times is written, former Fed Alan Greenspan will be one of the major villains, but also one of the greatest mysteries. This is so because he has, in effect, been three different people. Greenspan started his public life brilliantly as a libertarian thinker who said some compelling and accurate things about gold and its role in the world. An example from 1966. This is a shabby secret of the welfare status tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. If one grasps this, one has no difficulty understanding that this antagonism towards the gold standard. So you can read this entire article. Guys, I want to thank you. I'll be on with Hagman and Hagman tonight for 2 hours, first 2 hours, covering a bunch of stories we did not cover today. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us, from getting your B12 from us, from getting your cortisol blocker from us, all of the stuff that you guys get from us. Thank you so much for supporting us, supporting the show. Without you, it wouldn't be possible. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much, and I want to thank you for being here for us. God bless you. I'm going to write up the summary for today. Talk to you on Monday, and talk to you tonight if you're listening to Hagman. It's all yours, Oz.
10-4. Yes, absolutely, and we do appreciate all the support and everybody that's been helping us out, buying multivitamins and just basic stuff like that. That really makes a huge, huge dent in a lot of the cost of running this show and everything else that's going on. Because if you guys know, and I've said this before, but I'm going to repeat myself again, we don't have any sponsors. We don't have any advertisement. We don't have any commercials, not on the show, not on the website. And I'm not saying that to try and pat us on the back. What I'm saying is that I told Dad I did not want anybody ever coming into our company and being able to dictate what we can and can't say be based on a monetary gain by them using advertisement as a leverage or tool. We will not allow people to come in on our show or our website and do that. And secondly, I don't like commercials. I hate commercials, and I don't want to listen to them just like you don't want to listen to them. So I don't want to put you guys through anything that I don't want to be through myself. So that's really the matter of the fact. That's just as flat as it gets. But we appreciate it, guys. We thank you for your support with everything. The Magnesium Body Balm's on sale, product of the week. If you guys didn't hear about it earlier, a lot of great stuff on the website. Again, bear with us. We're updating a lot of things over the next couple weeks to make it more user-friendly, to make it easier for you guys to navigate the website and see stuff. So we appreciate everything. Dad will be on the Hagman Show tonight for an hour. Going to have a lot of good information. I've seen some of the stuff he's working on. It'll be a blast. You guys tune in and check that out. And you guys have a blessed, safe night, an incredible blessed weekend. And I'll talk to you guys again Monday.